Hello, welcome for today's call. Because it's Mercury going direct today, I'm going to check now if the audio is okay. Kim Pretzer, I unmuted you and I'm just checking if you can hear me. Hello?
Yes, I can.
Good. Thank you. Okay, thanks. Thanks for being here. I'm just making sure because yesterday were some glitches already and we never know. So yeah, welcome for today, and thank you for being here. And maybe you've already listened. Some of you listened to the call of yesterday, and if not, you'll have time to do it whenever you can. I'm going to just double check. There's a couple of hands lifted, but what I'd like to see is a hand quickly. If everybody could just quickly put the hands up that. Is somehow have problems around the power module of this particular module, or if there are still some areas that, or just in general, where it's really, really difficult. And I'm not going to, okay, there are quite a few. All right. So I'm not going to call you out on it. If you don't want to ask, that's fine. Okay, just take your hands down. Thank you. So I have an idea how many. And so we'll just keep the hands up that want to talk to me. So, and if you don't want to re-speak live, you can. I'm going to go over it, put in a Q&A question. So I'll go there and just check if there's a question that you want to be more anonymous about it, but you want to kind of get some help with it. So that I know more what you would like to really know about it. So I'll give you some time to, think about it. And we'll just kind of be quiet for a moment. We'll do a longer meditation at the end. And just be present here. Just check your alignment. You want to align into the core that you are, which might be for you not just a structure, but more of a sense of emptiness or a freedom or whatever it is. And you also want to be grounded through. So you want to be connected with infinity below. And you want to be reaching up through the crown into infinity above. So who you are is infinity or eternity. I use them in both, same thing to me. Just one, eternity has somehow to do with time and infinity more with space. But both are really the experiences of the mind-body structure that somehow appears to be hanging outside of this, all around it. But essentially what we do is we want to basically allow that field or that experience, the core, the field of light, the field of void, what that is, that-ness, to keep basically expanding through the embodiment and have the sense that there's nothing other than that field, that presence, that light, that love, and which is actually a truth. You are that already right now. And at the same time, there is a mechanism of seeing a form that appears within that field that you call, what is your name in this person that you are. So there was some question I talked about my process yesterday, and to maybe complete it, I'll speak a little bit more about it and however form it serves you. Do not ever use it to compare. Look at it as inspiration. Maybe you have some experiences that start making more sense for you. Maybe you also understand more what I was rooted in and what my training really was. And so essentially the training was already prior to this birth, and of course I had several awakenings, two memories of that, and my whole journey was not a sudden awakening. It was very rare. I had mentioned it at many, but essentially what I consider the full awakening is when you really stop seeking and the sense of I kind of spreads out and remains functioning and surrendered to the divine will. There will be there is your being, which needs then to be clarified. So after my awakening, I went through a lot of clarification. I'll talk about that. But let's kind of go back to 1997, really. 95, I gave birth to my son. I had already been doing healing. I was a healer and all these things. And I became quite sick after I gave birth to my son. And these were the 90s. And if you know, the entire 90s were a time where Earth itself, astrologically, was going through a potential, lots of possibilities were there. It's like a window of possibilities, just like your personal astrological chart has sometimes more windows of possibilities. And so during that time, that's where maybe also a lot of things happened for you, if you remember back. But for me, the pull to wake up became stronger and stronger, and to such a degree that I actually had to kind of come out of the closet in 1999 and presenting that to my ex-husband back then, which was not easy. I found that not easy. It was such a personal, deep, intimate sense of myself that never fit into this world, and to really say, you know, I think I'm becoming enlightened was a little, I wasn't really comfortable with that. And at the same time, I knew that there was a lot of stuff happening with me that didn't make any sense. And I began sitting in 97 with a teacher, and then in 98 with another teacher. And neither one lived where I lived in Vancouver. And then when I was in a retreat in 1999, I started to shift really, really strong. And so strong that I couldn't do healings anymore. I began to really give all that up, again, not knowing what I'm going to do next, because I also knew I wanted to leave my husband. I had a small child, had never really had a job in Canada, so how to go about that. But how things unfolded was that I, during that retreat in 99, I met this man that I mentioned yesterday. His name is Krishna, and who had been sitting, and he was older than me, and had been sitting with every teacher we could think of on this planet, many of them who are already deceased. So we chatted, and I don't even know, he sort of started talking to me, maybe sat in the area, I have no memory of it. And we started talking during the breaks, and I had no understanding of Papaji at the time, but he had spent like the last decade with him, although he also kept traveling all over the world. That's really what he did. He was disabled, so I'm thinking he probably got some disability. And so that's what he did. That's what he committed his life to. And so he basically, we stayed in touch, and I still had email at the time because I lived with my husband, and email was already out. I think it was Hotmail at the time, right? Still around, but that's, I think. So we were emailing a little bit, and how it ended up is that as my ex-husband and my family here, my son and I, we went to Europe because my ex-husband wanted to get involved in making a film. We traveled, we were in Czechoslovakia and Prague and in Germany. And so we went through London. We stayed there twice and had I rented an apartment. And as it was, interestingly, that so I called, Krishna said, you know, I'm actually in Europe. And then I said, really? What? Really? I'm in London. He says, yeah, I'm in London too. So I called him, and it turned out that he was literally 20 minutes by foot away with the teacher that then basically I was hanging out with in Australia. She was Papaji's second wife. And Papaji had just passed away, I think, in 97. And Mira at the time, that was her name, she didn't even care about doing satsang or such things. But she, basically, everybody was around her. So all the people that were, it's like a satsang group of people, it seems to be traveling, you know, between Australia and Europe and Belgium and India. And they were all traveling around and doing satsang. And so I walked there, and that's where I met her. And it was an apartment, it was full of people. I think it was 25 people in there. And we were just sitting there. She was sat across me, and we were just gazing. And she smiled, and she hugged me. And then afterwards, I received a lot of emails from, I'd like to add this story, which might be quite interesting, because in this world, people will not recognize when someone is awake or not. And I think I'd mentioned somewhere to you that we went to the Rose Garden in London, and then I was, we were in the car. I think we were only five people, including me. So Mira sat in the back, and she was chatting away. She was like a child, and it was very hot. It was a hot summer. And we stopped and we got something to drink. So Mira and I got, and another person went to the store and we just grabbed something to drink. And I remember that nobody looked at her. The cashier didn't look up. And I was fascinated that somebody with that presence and that level of consciousness, it would not register in the people around her, and there were only some people could see. You know, this is very different. We're talking about in the 90s, right? A long time ago, it was much denser. And so that was a very interesting moment that I never forgot. And anyway, so I basically went back home to Canada after that, and Krishna kept telling me that she isn't, she kept inviting, or she even invited me, I think even personally, I remember. She says, are you coming to Australia? We're going to meet next in Australia. And I'm like, I can't, I have a child. We don't have any money, really. We had the trip, made the trip, you know, on visa, I think, at the time. And I had a small child. So, and I said, no, I can't come. That's a luxury. But as things progressed, I essentially basically went. It became quite a struggle for me to decide because the pull was so strong, but I didn't have the money. I was committed to my family at the same. This pull was so strong. So my ex-husband said, why don't you just go? And so I did. Now, I have to say what was interesting about it is that the love I received, and I kept, Krishna said, oh, you know, they're all, everybody's looking for, I was, he made it sound like there was, I was a star coming, and she was basically constantly talking about me. So I was really happy. Like, you know, I was all innocent going there. It's like, oh, there's a bunch of friends and they're all happy that I'm also coming. So I arrived. First of all, she basically would do a satsang, and all over the place, somewhere at the beach, I remember. And she just said hi, but there was no personal, like, hello there, I'm happy to see you as a person. So I'm like, okay, that's totally fine. We're here to wake up from that. But the next step was very intense for me. And I knew that the old way of breaking or crashing the ego was really something that I had experienced a few times, but that was really the key. I was told about 2 days later that she was very upset and took her fist and pounced on a table saying that, why is she here? I've never invited her. She is with a different teacher. She doesn't belong here. And why is she here? So people were really surprised about it. So they were telling me what happened. They were all confused as well. But some said, well, you know, when she responds like that, there must be some reason to it. But it was almost like it was just rippling through the entire house and everybody there. And I was just shocked because I was totally shattered. Like, I felt very lonely. I had left my child there. I spent all this money. And I was basically scolded for coming here. And so I cried and we went go. And so some people were around me and just like, oh, it's okay. That was nice, but it didn't matter too much to me because it was way too profound. It went so deep inside me. And then as I came around about a few hours later, I just went into my warrior spirit and I just basically confronted her and said, I don't understand. You invited me. And she just kept looking at me. And I actually said to her, I said, yeah, I know. I said, we don't know each other very well. I spoke to her like a person. It's like, I understand, you know, but, you know, this is not the way it works. She just looked at me smiling. It's like, she says, I don't know what you're speaking of. And I said, well, don't you know you invited me? I said, I don't know. I don't remember anything. She says, you're so sweet. She said, you are so sweet. I said, and then she just responded to me. It made no sense. She kind of really scrambled my mind. And it just kind of melted all away. And so essentially it was breaking a need, all these projections we have on authorities, on we make our teachers, we turn them to parents, into important people, into people that love us unconditionally, like heaven, and you know, all these things that we all carry as humans, because it comes with the embodiment that there is all this projection going on. Because if there's a you and there is another, there's going to be a story, and so a story will come up, and so that story came up like ba-boom, like a bomb. And in that way, she embodied, or still embodies, this freedom, that pure selfness that cannot be explained, and that was that. And often you will see, because when I spoke to Krishna, he told me, you know, about Gangaji and all these people that are, some of them they're quite known now, that when you look at many of the people, they have not been around the teacher very long. I think Gangaji was around Papaji only for 8 weeks or something. So often it goes really fast. So it's not that it needs to take a long time. It is really direct seeing that can happen in this instant right now. If there's a willingness, if grace means it's, if it's meant to happen, you know, it's not even something you choose. You do choose it, yet you don't. You know, it's all part of this confusing talk that we get into once we really try to put words around it. And so that was that. And then I spoke yesterday about January 2nd. We spent New Year's Eve with another very, very well-known teacher in Byron Bay who has a house there, really, and kind of shares his time in different countries. And then I came back, and then I just spent about the serene years, I would say. They were serene in a way that I really didn't care too much about where it was going. What happened was, okay, I came back in April, March, maybe February, I can't remember, somewhere in the springtime. And then I moved out, and I knew I needed to keep sitting in the presence to just be in the space. I knew that, because I didn't even really want to apply any thinking. So the thinking was really not working that well, but I knew I had to deepen this and burn the samskaras. I knew that because I already had, you know, a one-on-one conversation with the teacher back then in 97. And so I went to a meeting in Vancouver, and there was a woman. She came from India. She is actually originally from Canada. She was an older lady, and she lived pretty much up the street from me. So pretty much like driving was about 10 minutes. It was a little too far to walk, but it was a very long street. So basically I saw her about 2 to 3 times a week for 2.5 years until she went back to India. And I just sat with her, and I was in the beginning the only one, actually, and we were laughing all the time because I was in her living room, and she basically said, "Wow, yeah, it's interesting. Nobody really cares. Nobody's interested in truly waking up." It was very fascinating to me. I couldn't quite understand it, but I brought some friends, and so we grew to a group to about 30. Can you imagine? It was a small group. And so she was there, and then she left, and so the serene years also included very strong astrological combinations in my chart that some astrologer said, "I don't know, you're going to live through this." So that was her words. And I can't say that I wasn't used to difficulties, but I do remember being physically, and like the circumstances of my life were very challenging. And they were very, very challenging. So just in terms of getting from A to B, getting things done, making things happen, all such things. And I remember being stuck in rush hour on the Patillo Bridge in Vancouver. And the sun was setting, and I had to get to the daycare. I was driving 100 kilometers a day, usually, and then I had to pick up my son. And I was just, the sun was setting, I was stuck in traffic. And I remember looking at the sun, and I just said, "Okay, God, I surrender. This is it. If I'm stuck here forever and this is all there is, I give up any of my own desire, anything how it should be, if there should be a stuck traffic or not. I sit here and I just, whatever you want." And there was this this deeper physical cracking in my being where the patterns that are all these latent I would say they're all your past people inside of you. They all come up so fast to be burned. So you can experience the serenity and the emptiness in who you are, and at the same time, in your being, the physical embodiment is going through all the stress because it's all just rushing up to be burned up. And if there's not enough downtime where you can clear it, sit it through or clear it with your processing methods, which I actually really didn't have the time to. That's why I did a lot of clearing my head. I could continue doing the processing in my head. And that was until 2005. And then my life began to sort of, I think it began to settle more. But then another phase started, which was more intense. And I'm not quite sure if I should go into that, because that's a whole other story and opens up. Might open up some fear, it might open up some other things, but essentially I had to meet certain past karmas that are, I think, today I would say, linked with the overall enslavement of the world and that part that's the collective unconscious. So I had to kind of meet that as well, and I went deeper and deeper. I learned a tremendous amount of old secret teachings in the process, but at the same time I also had to see and experience everything else that came with that. And so yeah, that was quite a journey. So basically after that I wasn't even sure if I'm going to continue to do this work at all, and I basically got prompted to then again go out, and things always change. It's almost like a breath. You go maybe inward and outward, and you will find that, like I mentioned a long time ago, many of the real awakened teachers, the ones that are awake to the clear light of eternity, not just the fifth dimension or the sixth dimension, I'm talking to that which is that cannot be named, they often retreat. They come out and then they go again, and because they don't really, really, truly care. There's no, they just are almost, I think we're sort of like almost like the breath, like the day and the night that comes and goes. We just maybe mirror this. I'm not sure. I don't have an answer yet. Maybe 10 years from now I can look back again and speak about it, because that's what we do. We kind of go on this path which is unknown, and then we look back and then we can speak about it. So I'm just a person that went a little further than maybe you, and I just kind of look back and just say, hey, don't trip over that, and make sure you, you know, bring some water, and don't go down there, or maybe you don't want to, you know, do this while you're on this path, and because it's just a waste of time. So that's really what it is. So I hope you enjoyed that story. If you have more questions to that, I'll be open to explaining things more clearly. So in the call yesterday, I spoke about that some of the course, I called it originally also like the Wisdom Life School, but the New Earth School. So as we're now shifted totally into 5D, we are free to not fear so much. At the same time, it brings other challenges. And we have three people that are, in my understanding, are clear now and free, and there are some others that are just ready on their way. And I invite you to really drop the ego completely, to drop the control and to surrender into the unknown and into that which you are, and just rest in that, let everything else fall away. And then we can, and I spoke to Louise, we were Facebooking, that when you are free, then you move into naturally into service. And service is a whole other module, which I actually put later in module 9, but I'll bring this into today already, because then when you have no personal agenda, you know, which is always based on survival, then suddenly your agenda becomes very cosmic and you are wired for truth. We are wired for service, not just for truth, but for service. And it just happens. You just want to do, you want to help. There's the caution that because the being isn't clarified, it keeps burning off the past life imprints, that the power that that action that moves out into the world for service is that there's a neutrality, a very clean neutrality to it, very surgical and clean. There has to be a checking in the heart if there's any personal habit in there of wanting it to satisfy an old part of yourself that's still kind of floating around and wants to come back home and also integrate into your core, which is turning into light. This is how the enlightenment takes place. You wake up to yourself, and then the light needs to be the fuel. Your patterns are the fuel. You are, like I said, you are recycling yourself. You're eating your own patterns up, your own past selves, and that combusts into light. And so that is true light. And actually, I'm working on a package that will talk about the true light, which has the true light in it, which I call grace light. It's not a light that comes from the angels or anything. It's the light that is your own divinity when it combusts and you shine it out. It is, and when you're conscious of it, it's the light without a second. And so we will be, so I am contemplating and I'm getting guidance on how to give you work, I could say, this way, where you are, if you are wired in that way, to assist some of the stuff that's going to be happening in the next 3 to 4 years on the planet, so that you can hold, I call them pillars of power and light, where you are holding with others, you know, momentarily situations and places of consciousness that are falling apart, because they'll all be falling apart. I mean, the structures can't be held together anymore, and so things are going to be falling apart. And because the majority of the planets, over 90%, are unconscious, they are asleep. I'm sorry to say so, but they are asleep. They will be, how will they be spawned? It's like what happens a lot all over the place, a little bit chaotic. And so because just a few points of light can stabilize things, you will be very important. And that's essentially more of my service, or what seems to be coming through me, and I'm sure a lot of other people. And it has to do with you resting in your awakeness. It's not so much about healing the world. There's nothing to heal. This is not what's needed. It is really about you shining the light without any personal agenda in a very skilled, mystical way. So I'm actually not exactly sure when I'm going to start this, because I'm just maybe going to maybe put the few of you together and you can hatch this out and come to me. Maybe we'll do it that way. And anybody else who's interested, just, you know, email me or email Kim. And so we get an idea who's actually feels a calling to that when you hear me speak about it. Do you feel like, oh, yeah, that resonates true. This is what I've been waiting for. Because I can feel, okay, I can feel a lot of power kind of rising. Good. I hear you. Thank you. Because I personally don't really care too much if I'm in this physical form or without it. It doesn't really matter to me anymore. Hasn't mattered for a while. But I do know that I care about the planet. I have a contract with planet Earth, and I'm here to assist her. She's going to be getting quite upset about what has happened, and so anyway, we all have a little piece of work, and it's as small as it is also important. Now, let's go to the questions and right away, so maybe we can go from there. And I'm going to start in New York, and I'm not sure if this is Danielle or somebody else. Who is that in New York? 9172. Hello, I unmuted.
That's me.
Yes.
Hi,
hello.
It's Christine. How are you?
Hi, Christine. I'm good. Thanks. Yeah, it's Aratima. Thanks.
I think I cut off. Yeah, I know.
Yes.
I'm new to group two, so I only started in February catching up with all the calls. January, the beginning of January.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, I feel like I'm a little kid in a room with all the adults, you know. I'm trying to catch up because I want it all. I want it all in one day, and it's a lot to take in.
Well, you were in the course from the beginning. It's just that you got into B, and with the group calls, we see there's more stuff in the calls, right? Yeah.
Oh, yes. But what I did was I went back and started over again because I just felt like I kept on missing out on something, mm-hmm. and I wasn't getting it, so I started over again. Mm-hmm. But, I feel there's just a fear in me of letting go, and I'm wondering, is that just normal and that will eventually, dissipate? I want to, but there's something in me that's stopping me from completely surrendering.
Good. Okay. Good. Because this is basically, I'll talk about the mechanism. You are meeting a normal thing. If somebody puts you underwater, you want to gasp for air, right? It's a mechanism. So everybody has it. There's a fear that is a completely normal, natural mechanism. And the fear of letting go and the fear of surrendering is what your mind, or let me put it this way: the mind in the paradigm of the patriarchy was trained to protect you. It's a survival mind. We all are initiated into it. Okay, we have to understand that. So when you begin to alter that which is known, because the mind is like a computer, it's a bunch of thoughts that you learn from your parents and the culture around you, and the schools and everything. And we know much of it is also a lie and it's not true. But at the same time, this is what is home for you. And that is what you call Christine. Yes. Now, when somebody comes along and says, hey, close your eyes and meditate, which the church said don't meditate, it's evil, because they knew when you do that, you're going to get in touch with yourself and then you're going to see the lies. So whenever you basically are going to rest and drop out of the mind, you just rest just as consciousness, your mind is going to go into a reaction, which is really wired into your body, because the body is the unconscious part of the mind. So you're going to get this contraction, and it feels like fear. It can be physically feel like fear or just emotionally. And that is your mind trying to protect you, but that's what you learned. And that's good. So thank you, mind. You're doing a good job.
Yes. Right.
What is it? What is it protecting you from? See, that's the question. What is it protecting you from? Can you answer it, or I'll answer it? Can you answer it? What is it protecting you from?
I think you're right. I was brought up Roman Catholic, and that all makes perfect sense to me. That those all those things that I was taught, it's just I have to unteach myself those things, or at least be open to other realms.
Hmm. Good. Exactly. I was Roman Catholic, so believe me, I knew that. Although I was awake in it and gave my religion teachers a big hard time in school, but I still was scared and had to meet that archetype. That's another story that I think Kim Russell wanted to hear. And it's very scary.
Oh no.
So, but you see, it is this incredible fear. And so all you're doing, if you understand that your mind, when you begin to relax and don't think, you're just stopping to, you don't go along with the mind, because this habit of thinking, when you basically stop doing that and you just relax as consciousness, then what happens is your mind begins to quiver. And it wants to, it pulls at you, and this is fear feeling, and it helps. And then all these thoughts are just starting to bombard you with that you were taught that it's wrong and this evil and this happens and that. And then you are really meeting your programming, because all of the human races has been enslaved. We're all enslaved from a dualistic perspective. Okay, we enslaved ourselves, but yet we are enslaved. So everybody will meet fear. You will meet the collective fear. You will meet your personal fear, and there's no way around it. So my invitation is to really turn around and look fear right in the face. Always.
Okay.
That's what you do. Okay. You feel it, you look at it, and you will investigate that nothing's there. It's a shadow.
Okay. I like that. That sounds great. Can I ask you one other thing?
Mm-hmm.
With the mantra, with finding my true guru, I'm doing it, and I'm fine with it. I'm just a little confused. Aren't you my guru? You know, aren't you are my teacher. I don't want to talk to somebody else. I mean, you are the one I'm listening to. So I'm confused. Is this me opening myself up to somebody else that's also going to be teaching me? Is that what
that's
I'm doing with that?
That's a good question. Okay. Remember that in the ultimate, essentially everything is you. I am you. Everything is you. Even if you saw a great angel or a teacher, that's also you. You're speaking to yourself. Good. So I always want to come back to that. Yet, when I spoke about my story, I had really four dominant teachers. And one of them, which I talked about, Mira, I called my Sat Guru, because the Sat is truth. She was the one who imprinted me with the awake state. She was the one who was able to touch it so that it remained. Where the others were, they were also awake, but their teachings were, one was really cultivating. He was more like reopening my heart the way I knew it. It's almost like he was my inner heart place. And the other was my mystic teacher, because I had awakened states in past lives, and they were there to reawaken them for me. So they are like gurus, but they weren't my sat gurus. And these are old terms. So if you think that it's more a sense of like, if I'm the one that's going to really help you to remember your inner freedom, then I would be that person for you. And then you can let it happen. Whatever works for you. Some people really want to know. Others are all over the place, and it helps them to get rid of the confusion.
Okay.
Okay?
I got it.
Got it.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm so happy to be here. Oh, listen, I'm on board with whatever it is that you're doing and offering service. I am so on board. Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks, Christine.
I heard that.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, that's wonderful. So we have a cell phone at 2158 in Philadelphia. Hello.
Hi, it's Ruthanne.
Hi there. Hi, Ruthanne.
Hi. I did write a question on the Q&A.
Okay, let me go over there. Thanks for reminding me. Refresh, so I'll see it. Okay, there you go. The wave. What kind of wave did I talk about?
Not yesterday, but before. Just like when emotions come in, like anger or whatever, just let it go through you.
Oh, I talked about the wave.
I started to feel that. Yeah, like it's just the wave that goes through you, or the weather. The weather comes through you.
Yes. Okay, good. Yeah, and it's even not sometimes like a wave. It just starts to disperse now. Did you notice that? I was talking about that. Yeah, it just kind of, it's just like I think I mentioned yesterday, Jason comes in the house like 2-3 nights ago, and he says, my God, it looks like glittery in the house. Everything is just like these little particles, right? And welcome to the 5D when you see it. So it's just all shatters into little particles, which really tells us, and you see, this is going to be all, for me, as exciting as we're all on the same boat here to discover this. I mean, this is all, like I said, I was trained in classic old ways, which has truth to it, but how it functions and how it kind of changes will probably be different, because how the healing, like, do you have patterns? Do you have to clear patterns and layers? I don't think so anymore. I think you just can take it right out in the center. How does it move through the body? How does it feel? This is all something we will all experiment with, right?
Yeah.
Do you have another question, or just kind of connecting?
Connecting.
Okay.
Last night was wonderful. Well, it was easy.
Good. Yeah, whenever there's fear, not even to go there. Sometimes far in the distance, just to not even pay attention, rest more and more in this field that is what you already are and have always been. And what I'd like to add is that this field, love, light, eternity, is always the same, will always be, so there's nowhere to go. This is it, this is really it. It really helps to disable the mind that has a future thinking that's going somewhere. I like your power center today, it's very nice. All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for that. Bye. Okay, let me now read this Q&A here. Okay. This is very... okay, the glitchy thing. Okay. Maybe it's happening for some people, maybe not, right? Okay, and then there's a question from a different person here. This is a little bit longer. Let me answer this question. I read it. Let me answer this question towards the end when I have a little bit more time to read it. It's a bit more complex, so I'm going to go back to that. So I'm going to take the next caller now, which is in Alberta, Calgary. Hello?
Oh, is that me?
Yes. Who is that? Is that... Is that
I guess I shouldn't be asking who I am. It's Winona.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Wow. Wasn't expecting to be on quite so quick. So, there's a couple of questions and probably really just needing to connect more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling the power module, I feel a little skittish still. It's been I'm finding the heart thing is easy for me, to get there and to reside in there. And I've had some incredible meditations whenever I focus on the heart. But when I go into the power module, the meditation too, I'm having difficulty with really visualizing the ball and also with working myself through the module. Like, it's like I'm frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Yet I don't feel fear. You know, I'm not feeling fearful of it. I just am observing this frozen.
Okay, good. Very good. Very good. This is very good, and I think it will help a lot of women because it's a women issue. So I wanted to just make sure that the Dantian ball, the healing module, the ball in the belly, is really mm-hmm. more like a practice. When you meditate, you're not really visualizing anything. You just bring your attention there. So it's very important.
Okay.
There is no visualizing because we're meditating. We're just hanging there and essentially entering a field of which is power, which is energy, and that particular place will affect all the three lower chakras. And
mm-hmm.
and so now what I meant about women is that the collective karma of women, or because you're embodied in the woman now, right? The collective karma on planet
mm-hmm.
Earth about women is enslavement and suppression and violence. And a lot of it is either, if you're already in touch with fear, well, then you're already quite conscious to it, but you can't even feel anything. You're just skittish. You just want to stay away, which is a form of fear, but it's like
mm-hmm.
really blocked up, right? So we want to acknowledge
mm-hmm.
it. So together we can just basically just be aware of this avoidance or this, whatever, is it a nothingness? What is it when you really go there and hang out?
I feel tears.
Okay. So there's grief now. Okay.
It feels
complete annihilation of you as a person. That's what I'm getting right now. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's almost nauseating, you know?
Yes. It's really big. Okay. Yeah, just let's be very kind. And this is very deep and very profound. It's a pattern. It's clearing. It's starting to clear through. And nauseating is always happens when energy moves in a way that the mind, is there so much movement in the mind or in the unconscious, the body, and it's like
mm-hmm.
being on a boat, it goes up and down, you get seasick, right? So
yes.
That's right. It's just a reaction because you're trying to go back to the way you knew yourself. But so the nausea is okay. Just even, it's like, oh yeah, okay. So you just think of it as movement, things are unraveling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like this has been with me forever. Is how it feels. It's like because I've gotten to certain points when working on the enlightenment aspect, and it seems to be there's just this point that you know, it's not even like I run away. I just, it's like this wall is so big that I just go do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, yeah, I get it. All you need to know is to be reminded of that this wall is, mm-hmm. is a mirage. You believe a thought. This wall is a thought, and you believe it, and you just basically, you say, this wall, I might feel it and experience it, but it's not real, and I don't believe it. Show me what's true. You can also use that if you want to have a more of a verbal cognitive approach. Just don't, again, anything you see and can touch and feel is an illusion. It's not who you are. So, and if it's not who you are, don't care, because you are eternity. I mean, it cannot swallow you up. It wants to threaten you. It's like a distorted cartoon character, but it can't. You can just take an eraser and just a bunch of lines.
I like the idea of the eraser. Maybe.
Yeah, I've done this. Just a little rubbery, and it's just like, oh, good, erase the images totally.
Okay, I'll work with that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Thanks.
Okay,
okay,
I'll update the rest on Facebook. Okay, thanks.
Okay, yeah, thanks. Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Yeah, that's a big thing that we always have to meet. Okay, this is Anna in Sweden. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
I'm fine, thank you.
Good.
I had a comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon?
You had a couple of questions? Okay.
A comment first. You had a post about where we are right now. And in the end, you talked about emotions and power.
Mm-hmm.
And how you be abusive when they have emotions and the power.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where I've been.
Okay.
I don't really have a reference to true power.
Mm-hmm.
That could be.
Okay, good. Oh, beautiful. Okay. And especially that's another pattern a lot of women have. They use their Shakti, and especially in countries that are where women are oppressed, they use their Shakti to manipulate because they have no other power. They just do this, and you know, you can watch it in really interesting ways. Mm-hmm. Think of power as energy. Think of a horse stance. You're really strong in your belly, and you're making a decision to lift a heavy box off the floor and put it on a table. So, you know, you don't bend over. You don't want to put your vertebrae out. You just kind of go down in a stance, and you just pull it up, and then you put it on the table. That's use of power. And you are if you're distracted, you might put your back out, or you just slip, or whatever, you know? So you have to be very focused, and there's no emotion in it. You're not being emotional. Oh, I'm so sad. I need to move this box over the table. If you do, you're going to maybe put your back out. So it is a clean, present attention, concentration, focus, and then you move energy somewhere. Now, the same thing happens when, let's say, you want to get a job, or you want to clean up your room, or you want to enroll your children in daycare, or whatever you need to do. You are very clear about what is the goal. Is it coming directly clean from your belly, you know, from your body, like deep from in your core? And then what steps do I need to take? And you clean up anything else around it, all the emotional stuff around it, the fear, the worry. And when you do that, then you are not in abuse. You're just using power, using energy to move through life.
Yeah.
So, is this helping? You just clean up first. You become more conscious. Yeah. That's all it is. Yeah.
Use triangles to clear.
Yeah. Do you have a particular emotion that you get hung up on?
Anger.
Anger. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, anger is lots of good. Yeah. Anger is a lot of good energy. One of my big ones that I had. Good. Well, anger is beautiful because it pulls out oppression. But then you want to look at what you're angry at and who, and know that the other is yourself. So whatever you're angry at is part of you that you're still rejecting because you have a judgment on it. So maybe try that. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a son who reminds me of this because I tell him the outward is the inward, and when I'm angry, Mom, that's just showing you what you need to work on.
Yeah, there you go. Thank him. There you go. Okay, was that it?
I had one more question.
Okay.
I used to have a lot of problems with digestion and what I could eat and not eat, and it's been much better this fall.
Oh,
but,
beautiful.
Yes, it's been good. But now, for a week or something, it's been pretty bad again. And I took Katja's advice yesterday about the kichari.
Oh, the kichari? Okay.
Yes, the kichari. Yes, I'll have that one. But I was thinking, when I try to get more power energy in my abdomen, is it that I lend energy from the digestive fire?
Sorry, I'm not quite sure if I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
What's the question?
When I've been working more on the power energy,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have I taken away energy from the digestive fire, the Agni? Mm.
No, not at all.
No,
in fact, it will. If you have more power, your entire body runs better because it's really fuel for the body. It's vitality, and it fuels your brain so you can be clear. It holds your heart stable so you're not emotional all the way. This is why I said you can't just go through the heart because the emotions will throw you all over the place. You have to have those roots. Yeah. No, it will improve your digestion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just changed season, and also we were in Mercury retrograde. So Mercury has to do with everything, with communication and things interacting with each other. So even the peristaltic. So it see how it changes and look at what about the digestion that is not working? Is it, you know, is it too slow? Is it too fast, too hot, too cold? And then you just adjust to that.
Yeah.
Okay. 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 Thanks, Anna. Okay. Bye. Okay. We have a caller in 44207. Hello, who's that? Hello, I just heard you. Who's that? Maybe you muted yourself and I can't hear you right now. 44207. Oh, she maybe dropped off the line. I'll keep your hand up, okay, and I'll come back to you. So I'm going to go to the next person, 31229. It's another web caller. Okay, there's Mercury retrograde. Okay. Okay, I'm very sorry I can't hear you. So we'll go to Kasri now. Okay, hi Kasri, can you hear me?
Hi, I hear you.
Okay.
So I guess I wanted to connect mostly, especially after my recent escapades.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for the support. Now I'm going to be emotional. It's quite amazing how I got through that so quickly and came, like, I've been fine about it. Like, I'm just so amazed that it's because of the group and because of your support. So I'm really grateful.
You, I know. See, it can be much easier. It's so the belief inside you that things have to be hard and you have to suffer, that's belief is really not useful anymore, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you must have changed it already to a huge degree, otherwise you wouldn't have experienced this change so quickly. I mean, you are essentially the person who is doing the internal work. I mean, there's no other than you. We are all your expressions when we come back to the oneness, right? So you can be happy for yourself and register where you're at in your growth. So I'm a very scientific mind, so I would always kind of look at that. I look in the mirror of the world around me and just see, oh, that's where I'm at. Okay. If it's not shiny enough, then you shine up the mirror again, right? So you did good. So it's wonderful.
Okay. Wow. Thank you. Yes. Okay. Well, and the support helped. I mean, I have to give credit where credit is due, but I will give credit to myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the past couple of days, what I wanted to ask you about is, especially today, I'm feeling so a lot of pressure in my head. Like it feels like my third eye and crown chakra. It's a feeling I've never had before. I'm used to having headaches, but it's not a headache. It's just, so is it something that needs to move up and out? Is it?
In the context of waking up, okay, you will always have discomforts. Because the body is always going to have discomforts, sometimes comfortable, sometimes uncomfortable. So let's just realize that this is a never-ending fixing journey that you're going to be on. And so let me help you by just kind of reminding you again that the most important thing is to know that you are not the one who's having the headaches. It is an experience that's happening within you as mind because you're confused. Everybody's confused, okay? Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now when you are already, okay, I'm just noticing some other people catching up on that, that's good, is that you want to be present with it, and as you're present with something, then deep from your core, there comes a solution. It's wherever your feet take you. Maybe you get a massage, maybe you drink more water, maybe you have to take a Tylenol, maybe you have to do some breathing, maybe you have to process something. So you want to really always check back in within yourself and kind of really register, what is this? And maybe it's just a thought that's stuck there, that a worry or something that is disintegrating right now because it's not being supported by Earth, by Gaia anymore. So you're just on your own now with your problems, with your structures and with your thoughts. And so, but in that way, they also are free to move out faster. So if you check with your headache now, like, how do you react towards it? Are you frustrated with it?
Well, it's not painful, so it's not a headache. It's something I've never experienced before. So that's why I'm so curious.
Curious.
Yeah, curiosity. And is it because I've been doing so much, I've been listening to you like almost 24 hours a day for the past few days, doing a lot of meditations and re-listening to a lot of stuff.
Okay, good. So when you have a symptom, then you find out that curiosity is coming up in your being to be cleared out. Because Kasri is curious, and so because the curiosity needs to live, it needs to breathe, it needs something, it needs a projection. So you projected and created a headache so you can be curious about it. This is true with everything in life. This is why I gave this very long, very complicated speech, but you know, in the replay, you know, you will can kind of analyze it a bit more. Is that everything that you react to, go back to how does it, what happens in you? Does it make you frustrated, irritated, curious, sad? Then you know that you're about to clear this out. So pull your projection back in. The duality makes us think that we have to fix this thing outside of myself. Outside, I have to fix the headache. I have to do this and that. But you don't have to. So either you can become aware and right away take the root out by saying, oh, there's a desire for curiosity. There's an attraction to curiosity. You don't have an aversion to curiosity. There's a programming. Curiosity is a good thing. And or you can be very still, rest in your core, and then just see where your feet take you, and just maybe you drink water, maybe not, or just maybe falls apart, maybe you take a pill. So do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, because I'm not in my, when I'm questioning it, I'm not in my core, because in my
That's
core
right.
there's no question.
That's it. Yes, exactly. That's it. So you see how your mind gets, there's just one mind, is basically keeping you busy. It keeps the being enslaved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why, you know, I'm not saying Papaji is my primary teacher, but that part of resetting to ultimate selfhood is to keep quiet and do not let a question arise out of... when you have seen who you are, then there can be no more questions. When you have not seen yet who you are, then the questions help to dismantle them and take them out of the shadows. So it's good to ask then. But once you've really seen it, like, for example, let's say Louise would come up with a question right now, or then basically that would mean that she's becoming curious. That there's some busyness going, you know, but it's she's already seen who she is, so there's no question.
That's a great place to be.
Well, you are that already. You just have a lot of momentum in the mind. That's all it is. But when you detach from it, then the mind can still have momentum, but you don't engage with it. This is why you have to meditate. That's all it is. It's the only reason why we sit and close our eyes, so that we actually have a moment to basically disentangle ourselves from this mental movement, you know.
Okay. And thank you for that. I one last question. Does the call that you did on Kundalini back in May, I think it was, is it still applicable now that we've made this big shift about how Kundalini awakening has to be so difficult and painful? And
no, it's a very good question. Thank you, Kasri. And probably going to have to go and kind of maybe take some things down or something. The Kundalini is, the faith feels it's spread out. It's spreading out. It was located, as far as I know, it's a whole other story, but Mother Earth basically rose her Kundalini, right? And it's now basically all moving into light and, or particles of light. And because our physical bodies is basically only, the density is held together through programming. Now that the programming all basically falling apart, there's not so much density. So I think that even the heat of the Kundalini, and I can't tell you exactly right now, but the heat of the Kundalini maybe will change, as well as being more cooler, maybe more crystalline. I'm not sure. I'll have to watch that, or we'll have to watch it. So it's going to be different. I'm not, you know, called it a Shaktipat anymore, because that was to activate a pathway for it, through the density, which was very difficult. It was very painful, but it doesn't have to be like that anymore. So that's a great question.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was different. I listened to it yesterday. I thought, no, I don't think this is correct anymore. It's changed.
Good. So. Yes, good. Good for noticing. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. Yeah, that's very, very good. Let me check back the web link at 4420. Hello, can you hear me now? 76? Hello? No, I'm going to go to the next one again. The other web link, 31229. Can you hear me? Hello? I think I heard somebody there. Can you speak? Whoever's on the web link, or maybe it's a phone, it doesn't show up properly. No. Okay. So we'll go to Wilma. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
It's wonderful speaking to you. And the information has been so, everything that I needed to hear today.
Oh, good. Good. I talked a lot already. Yeah.
And answered everything that was coming up into my mind. And I want to know, I'm whatever class you're giving, I'm there.
Okay.
I'm here. Yeah,
okay. Okay.
And you mentioned something about the Sata Guru, and I never thought, are you my Sata Guru since you took me to this new place?
You know, I'm not going to say that. I don't even want to use the word. I mean, it's in the traditional sense, you know, they would probably say no, because I didn't go through some kind of, you know, I prefer if you don't use it. But
okay.
If you use a Western word and say that this was the woman who helped me free or see myself, truly find myself, you can put it like that. I'm okay.
Okay, that's fine. Never even entered my mind.
Yeah. It's because once you get all that wording, oh my goodness, the politics about it.
It's another thing. What is, how can I put it? Now that I'm in a totally different place, when I am moving, walking, or where I'm having to hold on, it's like, I would say that I feel I might not collapse, that I'm not, I don't feel the same way in my body.
Yeah, that all changes because we remember that all experiences will change. Nothing will remain the same. So get used to not holding on to any experience. Enjoy what is here right now and just know that it will continue to change. And so because we are also in 5D, so I'm guessing, I mean, I've been living in this state for a long time, so I don't need to know what it's like. Yeah, wake up right now. So I guess it might be feel a little bit more unstructured, maybe, or yeah, maybe a little bit less dense. What are you exactly experiencing?
It's difficult to find words. Mm-hmm. It's as I'm walking, I'm holding on, and it's like the body doesn't feel the same.
Yeah, and it is not really, because the idea that everything you felt before was a program, it's an experience, and now you have a new one, which is probably more pleasant, and it will continue to change, you know.
So as I evolve in this place, the experience I'll have with body will shift.
Yes, you have even the option to not experience death in the way you experience in the flesh body, the dense flesh body experience, because the experience of body or matter is all, remember the dimmer, it just kind of slides up and down. It's either very dark and dense, or when you slide up the dimmer, the light, then it just exposes something different, has more colors. We talked about the rainbow body.
Yes.
And so the rainbow body, so you might find that your calling is to continue refine your perception of this flesh that you think you see, and then there will be subsequent changes literally in the physical body, but you might even drive that into living longer, 200 years, 300 years, or even dropping the body as a light body. There's a lot of options. I think we're all in an experimenting phase, and you will probably be able now to tap into skills that you had from past lives way easier, and just kind of maybe bring them online if you want to, if you're called to or not, you know, just look at the greater good. Yeah.
When I was working on my daughter, she was here, and when I was working, I was getting connecting her with divine love, because she has so many things, and I felt when you started speaking, I connected and realized what was I was observing was really me on the table, since we're all one.
Yeah,
and whatever I was taking out of her, I was really taking it out of me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's whatever you will experience, whatever makes sense to you at this time. Everything is, you have a new description of the world, and you always check is it absolute truth? Is it still is it serving your freedom, or is it tying you up? You know. But if you tie yourself up, you will feel the contraction. It just won't feel good.
All right. And, you know, I just wanted to know. I know I'm not dizzy and there's nothing wrong with me, but it's a very strange thing to move and feel I'm holding on to things, because the body and I are not at this moment working together.
You know, coming back to you, Wilma, because you're such a mystic, is that remain more, give yourself time to at least maybe for at least 3 days. Do not move your mind. Be still. Don't look. Very important. So that you, because you're so habituated to moving around the multidimensional field of the mind, of that you don't want to lose the remembrance of the freedom that you are. So just make sure the mind is very tricky. So you want to let that completely burn off. Just my suggestion, okay?
Yeah, that was what was happening when I was working on my daughter. Things were burning burnt.
Uh-huh, okay. Okay.
That's why I thank you for the call.
Yes.
And all the questions. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks, Wilma. Okay, thanks. Okay, so we're going to another, hello, it's 6124. Yes. Hello? Yes, hello. Who is that?
It's Nadia.
Hi, Nadia. Hi there. Hi. How are
you? I just had it on loudspeaker. Is that a bit clearer?
That's better. Yeah, that's very good, actually. Thank you.
Yes, just wanted, I mean, I love connecting. I love what you do with us. But I did have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of going forward, like what I'm going through some of the past modules. What's best for me to do at the moment? Is it still the meditation and the shadow processing that should still be the main
yes.
part? And then we go through the other things as well to kind of add dimension to that?
Yeah, you can say so. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when meditating, I can't print color off my printer, so I've just stuck to the geometric ones or looking at the mountains or flowers or something. So I'm just focusing or gazing on that and then just trying to clear my mind. But because I'm looking at having, you know, just no thoughts coming through, just empty and that, it seems when people are having experiences that probably wouldn't happen because I'm just kind of at this stage focusing on having a clear mind and slowly, you know, the time I can do that for is getting a bit longer.
That's right. What you're really doing is not really working on clearing your mind. You're actually working on concentrating the mind. When you have power of concentration, that then begins to sink into you, your ability as consciousness to hold the mind in place, so that when you then really let go, you are able to stay as is without following the mind. So the concentration part is very important. And also, it's really a concentration practice.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Now that actually helps. That makes sense. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And any mantras that you'd suggest? Like before doing your classes, I'd heard that the Gayatri mantra, even though I probably haven't said that correctly, was good with awakening. But it sounds like there's no one size fits all mantra. It can be you know, different things for different reasons and that.
There's a lot I can say about mantra. The mantras are still wonderful. They're very ancient from the Vedas, and they're like tuning your chakras in a certain way. And there are the Gayatri mantra is definitely a Vedic mantra that works on perception of knowing that everything is light. Really, that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, and so if you feel there's a short one and a long one, and my husband has all of them on his YouTube channel. And if you are really thinking, is that a good mantra for me to wake up? Well, I can tell you that there's a lot of people on this planet who have chanted for 40 years and they're not awake. So that's, you know what I'm saying? So that's not what it
yes.
is. This is why if you like to clear your mind and really also kind of clean off maybe frequencies in the bodies or something, then of course chant a mantra. They kind of shape you in a certain way so that you feel better. But the waking up is really has to do with the perception of how you see the fact that your mind is not you. That's and that can be done in an instant. That's the more important part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. That's good. Actually, what does help a little bit before I start the meditation, I repeat Om 7 times, and I think that kind of, maybe it's just because that's become the practice, that's what I do, so it sets them
yes.
everything up for doing the meditation.
That's right.
Oh,
and you can,
also,
yeah.
sorry, you go.
You can do the mantra in order to get tuned in, and then you let go. Absolutely, that's what I suggest. And it can be a longer mantra if you want to do Om Bhu, Om Bhuvaha, Om Swaha, and the long one or the shorter, and then you chant it a few times, and then you're still, you can do that as well.
Okay. And does it matter? So you have a beautiful voice. When you say the mantras, say really anything, it's just got this energy and that, whereas my voice kind of breaks up and that doesn't matter, or just more that I'm doing it.
Yeah, because you don't have to do it loud. You can do it internally. Yeah, you don't have to say it out loud. Yeah. And then, even if you said it loud, it doesn't really matter. So, you know, and you might want to do is, it is actually a Sarasvati mantra, the Gayatri mantra. The goddess Sarasvati gave it to the people back then. And it does work on voice and artistry and writing and creativity. So that's actually a good mantra for you. You might even want to do directly, Om Aim Sarasvatye Namaha. That's her mantra. Om Aim Sarasvatye Namaha.
Okay, I'll have a look at that. And last thing, something that I found helpful that you said, because I wasn't doing much of the exercise, my weight was still coming on. And something that you said was like, well, you choose to eat, you know, the ice cream or whatever. And it's like, oh, yeah, I do. So whatever I'm doing, I'm choosing. It's not like I'm not doing it. So this past month or so, I've been more active. I've been more careful with what I've eaten. And it's made a difference. I felt much, much better. So thank you.
Oh, that's good. That's nice. Oh, wonderful. Good. I'm glad it helped. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Again,
you're welcome. Thanks. Okay. Bye, Nadia. Okay. I'm going to Silverdale in Washington, 360. Hello? Hello? It's a phone, I think. 3606. Okay. Hello?
Hear me okay?
Oh, now I can hear you. Actually, that was my fault. I actually unmuted the spot above. Who is this?
Okay. It's Vicky.
Vicky, hi there. Okay.
Hi. So I just have a couple of observations and a question. Mm-hmm. Of course, everybody knows I've gone through an awful lot of changes in the last couple of months. And in my quiet moments, when I'm being very honest, with myself, I see the events of my life are really corresponding to the modules that we're in.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
And it's not something that's happening to me, but it's something that is happening for me, mm-hmm. so that I have an opportunity to clear all these emotions. Mm-hmm. And today this morning I was trying to get some bags unpacked and stuff, and I just thought, oh my God, I don't have enough room for all these things. I have to start getting rid of it. And then I remembered other people have been talking about module 4, clearing things, like getting rid of clutter and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, oh wow, my life has arranged itself so that now I'm starting the process of working on things that are in module 4. So now I'm getting rid of things and lightening my load. I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, that is. Yeah. And that's a good observation, because life is so creative, and every group event, there's always, everything happens somehow. It's very interesting. So you're the player of playing that part.
Yeah. Yeah. And, in some moments when I feel, you know, very much alone, there's always moments when I sit there and I realize that, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm in this trailer so that I can concentrate on me. I have nothing to do in the next 6 months but work on me. So I just find it very interesting that my life is molding to each of these modules, and it's very interesting. I'm getting kind of excited to see what's going to happen next. I think it's going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, life continues to move on, and it's definitely a chance to create some new outer events, you know, new outer experiences.
Mm. Anyway, so I do have a question about meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I am in a situation where all those emotional distractions that I have been involved in the last few months, and closing out that business and moving here, I'm going to have a lot more solitude so that I can go ahead and start working on more regular meditation, really getting a solid schedule down for me. And I was just wondering if you had any suggestions that might help me in that.
Or you want to do it twice a day, in the morning and then in the afternoon. Or if you want, yeah, it's, you know, sort of the same time that really helps. You really make it at the same time, it becomes almost like a reflex, right? And you said you're at least, you know, at least 20 minutes to half an hour. And if you do longer, great. And just don't expect anything. Just go there, sit, and be still. That's it. Start with a little chant, you know, like Hari Om or Om, and then just sit there and don't expect anything to happen. Don't expect to be quiet or nothing. It's very important because the mind will always come in, right? And then just make it a regular thing, like the way you shower. You don't expect your shower experience to be all very ecstatic every day. You just shower, you know?
Yeah, I'm still having trouble with mind chatter, so I'm looking forward to being able to quiet that.
Yeah. What I'm hearing when I hear you speak is that your attention is moving outward a lot to events, and so you're experiencing the drama of life. Look more towards that, who is experiencing all this, because that's really who you are. The events are not who you are. They come and go. So having a bit more space and distance, and if you do that, you will actually have a quieter meditation.
Thank you. I will work on that.
Thanks, Vicky. Okay, bye.
Thanks.
Bye. So I am looking at Kim here in Vancouver. Kim, Maple Ridge. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Reginald.
Hi.
I just wanted to connect with you. I'm just really feeling like I want to keep my eyes closed all the time, and I have this, it's almost like a Milky Way.
Can you come a little closer? It's kind of a little bit wobbly, your voice. Maybe you're a little closer to the microphone.
Is this better?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, okay. I feel like I have this Milky Way kind of movement in me.
Mm-hmm.
All through my whole body, and I've been experiencing a lot of nausea, but I know it's not me. It's not. I just wanted to connect with you. I don't really want to.
Let's make it simple. Yeah, I know. What I talked to Kazria about, or even Vilma, you know, there are experiences you're having and they'll continue. They're just changing because we're going to have all kinds of new experiences. And just imagine people that are unawake, what they're going to be experiencing, you know. So, so you want to basically check again, what's your response to these sensations? Are there is there fear? Is it curiosity? Is it just dislike? What is it?
No, I'm enjoying it. It's just the movement. I'm enjoying it. It's like a swirling, floating kind of feeling.
Okay.
I want to keep my eyes closed. I don't want to step out of it. And there was some grief that came up when I touched on the joy of it, all of a sudden all this grief came up, but then it also, it was almost like it stepped away. It was like a lifting off feeling. I don't want to get caught in the curiosity or the questioning or comparing. I just...
Stay in the freedom. There's in the chest. You can feel the freedom. You've felt that before, right? Yeah.
I feel like freedom, I'm being pulled.
You're being pulled. Pulled into what?
The universe. Just this, like from my chest upward, it feels like it's this motion that's, my back wants to move into it all the time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds to me you need to just kind of sit and let yourself to... I call it integrating, where all these frequencies and everything is integrating, so it becomes less distractive or distracted, and so that you can then, you know, see where your feet take you. So if you're trying to have your normal life and then you have, you know, all these events, other example, try to give birth and do your dishes at the same time. There's some things you don't do at the same time, right? So, right, you're giving birth to yourself in a new way. So you'll just take the time. It's Sunday anyway, so nothing to do.
So is this just more of the awakening? I don't, like, yeah.
This has to do with the 5D shifting, right?
5D shifting.
And
okay.
And it will be the more clearing you've done before in terms of clarified your being, more processing you've done a lot of healing and all this. So then it's like the patterns aren't as crystallized and they move through faster, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Thank you. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so now this is Jen. Hello, Jen. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. Hi there. Yeah. Oh, now you're gone. Hello. Now we
Hello.
Lost you. Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay, perfect.
I'm really just checking in.
Ah. Oh, you just came online, or you said?
No. I just wanted to just say hello.
Okay.
And be with you for a few moments.
Just connect. Okay. Have you been more and more at ease and more at peace and just more empty, Jen?
Especially as I'm sitting here today.
Mm-hmm.
I know I was sitting here in a very different way, listening to the conversation. But there still have been times of busy mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel much more at ease right now. It's quite lovely.
Are you bothered by the busy mind, or is it just happening?
Well, it's really interesting. Before you put out that note on the meditation, I came to a spot of probably being more at ease and wondering about grace and actually service at the same time. Mm. And I found that I had probably gotten to that point what you mentioned within reason. Don't say I had it right, but I was moving towards that place of just doing and being in meditation and not worrying about anything. And I hope I've explained that okay. So that worked for me. But the actual day that lesson, that note came through to us, I actually printed it off and sat with it before I went into meditation, and I had some amazing spaces within that meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it moved. Then a few days later, a little bit of mind chatter came in, and so I'd just go back and sit the best I could in those moments. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I also was glad you spoke about service because that was coming up in my mind, what service was to you, because service from another teacher was a little bit, I just want to know your version of it, and so you gave that to us today.
Mm-hmm.
And even this morning when I was doing some squares, I really had this strong sense of the patterns and layers not having to be done the way. It was really pleasing to hear.
Mm-hmm,
Is that the right word? But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I totally.
So I really appreciate that, yeah.
Oh,
and
that's
so
good.
I just have one other thing that popped up, which has happened because I got up for the call. But I remember waking a few times through the night. And I don't think it was noises outside, but I felt like I heard couple of cracking sounds within inside my head.
Mm-hmm.
Is that possible?
Yes.
I suppose all things are possible, aren't they?
Yeah, no, that's when you shift dimensions, when you shift from one frequency, like really from one dimension to the next, you can have these sometimes like an airplane exploding in your ear, like what do you call it, the sound barrier, or a huge cracking or something like that.
Okay. So I wasn't kidding myself. I like to think I'm not kidding myself.
I know. Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, no, thanks for sharing. Yeah, just keep sitting. So that's good.
Yes.
Okay, thanks, Jen.
Thank you so much. I appreciate everything. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Okay, bye. I'm wondering if Kim Russell is on the phone. If you are, can you lift your hand? And she's okay. I'm going to go now to a cell phone, 30164 in Waldorf. Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello.
Yes. Hi there. Who's that?
This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa. I've been thinking about you last week. How are you doing?
Oh, okay. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. Just hang out your question.
Connect. Yes. Just connect. I just want to connect. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very nice. Thank you. Everything's going good, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so.
Beautiful. Yeah. Good. Well, no, very, very nice. Yeah. You see a lot of light in your meditations?
I actually do not. That was one thing. You told us not to look for things. I occasionally see some light, but no, I don't actually see light.
You don't because you're emanating light, so you can't see yourself. Yeah, so this is what there's light coming from you. So it's very nice. You have so just keep sitting. It's very beautiful. And it's very nice. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Bye. Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Okay. I'm gonna go back to. Ruth Jean, I just clicked the wrong, I clicked your hand instead of your phone. If you can just lift your hand again, Ruth Jean, so that I can unmute you. There's my Mercury retrograde. I'm fumbling around with all the little tiny pictures here on the console. So Ruth Jean, if you can just lift your hand again, I'm sorry I unmuted you. Actually, I put it down. So I'm going to, in the meantime, go again to 44207. I've tried you before. Can you hear me? I can't hear you.
Hello?
Yes. Oh, there you are. Perfect. Hello. Who's that?
It's Kim Russell. Hi.
There you go. No, finally it's working. Okay. Wonderful. Good. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Okay. I was wondering if you're falling off. Do you want to say something or just sit quietly first?
Oh, I'd love to sit just to connect with you. That would be lovely.
Okay. Nice. So how are you feeling now?
I don't know.
Okay.
Good, I think. I
good. Okay.
Do. Just
good.
Very different. Very no not here, just kind of watching. It's like I'm watching a painting moving around me.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like being in the theater, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's lovely, but very different to anything I've
you
ever
thought. Yeah, you thought.
Yeah, very different, and very different to the glimpse I had last summer.
Maybe people are interested in me to know what the difference was. Can you describe it?
Well, I think the last summer there was, because it was a few weeks, I think it was 6 weeks of just absolute heightened bliss. I was so blissed out. I just had to keep lying down all the time in public. You know, it was just the time. And it was just waves of this bliss on bliss on bliss. And now it's so calm. It's so peaceful. It's kind of like beyond bliss, in that there's no heightened feeling about it. There's no real feeling about it. It's just this kind of state of
business.
Yes, yeah, which is just indescribably beautiful. It's amazing. it's just gorgeous.
thank you. You know why? Why I'm prompting you to explain this is because the mind makes all kinds of concepts of what it's like, and then when we have these extreme states of, I mean, I had lots of them, like intoxicated bliss, and you know, you have to lie down. I would be in restaurants, like I said, 1999 already, I would be eating somewhere on this trip that we were in Europe, and I would have to close my eyes. Nobody could go on, because I was going out into samadhi for, you know, at least 20 minutes after, or would stop in the middle of the street and lean against a wall of building and slide down because my eyes are closed, you know. So that's a very dysfunctional way of living, right? Do you agree?
Yeah, just a bit.
Right? So it's kind of nice, but I think these things happen from past lives where where there was no other way of enlightenment than leaving the body, like coming out. So I think, you know, like Ananda Mayima, who she was completely intoxicated, dysfunctional. Mira, actually my teacher, also for 8 months at the river at the river Ganges, was people, you know, cut her fingernails and combed her hair. So I was always kind of concerned, because I'm like, oh my god, I have to take care of stuff, I have a kid, I have to work, you know. So, you know, you have to go to work. So these can be, how it works out essentially for each person will be a little bit different, although there's similarities because of past life imprints and how the universe takes care of you as well to move you through this transition. And then you end up being really normal but free, you know, and that will deepen and deepen. And so just keep sitting as long as you can if you feel prompted to it. Don't let your mind move around so much, and anything else you want to share, that's good. Otherwise, wonderful.
that's great. I'm having to sit a lot throughout the day.
Yes.
But in between sitting, I'm getting so much done.
Yes.
Yesterday, I got more done in one day than I have in about the last 2 months.
That's right.
It goes on super, super speed.
Everything goes on super speed. Yeah, everything becomes efficient, because now you have a lot of power, so you can focus clearly. There's no clutter, no distraction. So your whole reality changes, and it invites you to, totally step out of this schedule that you usually have. I mean, I would sometimes not do something for a long time, and then like, somebody called me the last minute lady. I think it was my last boss that I worked for. She said it was the last minute lady, because I would just not do stuff, and then I would do it so fast, you know, because so I really rested and I really worked. It was all, you know, like, you know, no lukewarm in between. you go totally into samadhi, and then you just come out and you're really active and just let it happen. That's wonderful. Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Bye. Bye. Perfect. And then I have Ruth Jean. Okay. Here you go. Right button. Okay. Thank you for raising your hand again. Hi, Ruth Jean.
Hi, good afternoon, Aratma. I wanted to let you know that last night I heard cherubim, you know, the small angels.
Yes, the cherubim, okay.
Laughing with you. So when you laugh with what I say last night, like my word tickles you to the highest spirit and the most purest of you. And it was so beautiful that I received it back.
Oh, that's nice. Now, thank you.
My question really is that I don't know how relevant is this with the today's topic, but being an empath, because I feel a lot of mind chatter when I'm in a group, mm-hmm. and I can feel a lot of heartache in my heart, but I cannot feel it in my solar plexus. Mm-hmm. Being an empath and being aware and awakened are two different things, like two pillars, or they're intertwined?
They're two different things, because an empath is conscious of some other thing, right? It's in duality. It's an experience. You're either empathic or not empathic, or you're cruel or not cruel. It's just another way of being. To be awake means to see that you are not only the personal self within duality, but you're also the cosmic self of all there is. So that gives you freedom to not be stuck in the dualistic suffering and of time and space, which constantly alternates. Maybe one life you were not an empath and you were very shut down, and now you're exactly the opposite. So because whenever you suffer from something, you are actually caught. And that means that you are experiencing, you know, the pendulum, you're experiencing something that at one point was the opposite. So you might want to process things around not feeling at all, like the opposite, being numb, you know. So we all had our cruel lifetimes. We all murdered people or went to war or did other things. And now we're the opposite. We're to feel everything, so we just have the opposite. You know, this is all part of the game of life. And so what you can do, you either process it in whatever way you want to do. You can also say that I'm done with this. I don't have to. This is an interesting experience, but I really don't enjoy it. It's like a program, a movie that goes on, and you just ask it to turn off. I remember when my third eye was open prematurely because I had it in previous lifetimes. And I just felt that was zapping my energy, because the third eye needs to be powered by your power center, by the Dantian, by the navel center. I basically just asked Spirit to close down my third eye. I mean, I lost a lot because the sessions suddenly were not as interesting because I couldn't see stuff. But it took 3.5 years, and then it opened up naturally, and then I was ready for it. Then I could run the frequency and all that. So maybe just say thank you. If you see the angels, just say, you know what, I really am done with this. Is there another way, you know? Because you're not supposed to feel everything and suffer. It's not about really suffering.
Yeah, it really bothers me, but I want to feel it like I was, you know, like, I have to feel it because it is in my physical heart. And then I breathe to it with light, and I say, whoever this energy is that I'm touching, I turn it over to the light, and thank you for letting me know and things like that. I'm not like seeking or looking, but there are a lot of signs like today. And like my mind is delayed. I have to see something, and I don't understand it until I will say, oh, it looks like an image making a prostration. And I said, that is impossible because I'm looking at a tree. But, you know, I've been sitting in this position for so many times. I never saw this tree like having her leaves and her head form. A head and a hand on the top of his head or her head. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my God, am I seeking or looking? And I'm not. And when I wake up, I have this painting in my, another example.
It's okay. Because it's quite late. I get what you're saying. Thanks, Ruth Jean. Mm-hmm. Just remember, it sounds like a lot of work, and it sounds like you're not happy with it. Just remember, you have free will. And that because check again, like what I said to Kim or Kasri, how do you respond to it? Are you bothered by it? then you process it, because you, this event is happening to serve an egoic part of you, an identification, a programming, and you need to see that. Don't fix the empathy, don't, because now you're caught in a cycle of coping, of like giving it up and this and that. That's all. This doesn't take you anywhere. It just makes this, makes it, it just freezes it and becomes a bigger and bigger problem. So you want to see the need to be so empathic. You want to really clear that out. And there is, of course, a sensitivity and awareness that comes in. But when you're free and you know you're not these things, then you don't suffer. So there is no suffering then. And you're, where do you put your, and also where do you put your attention, right? Where does your mind go? You know, are you looking constantly on these things? This is the problem, you know, being spiritually very open, because these are realms and realms of stuff that you can get distracted in. So bring back, come back really into the body. Know that your body is really just your body, and you have your boundaries. And then ask yourself, what does it serve me? Am I bored? Does it feed an identity of being a nice, caring person? Another issue for women, right? We have lots of lives where we had to sacrifice ourselves and to feel things. So you have, you can look at that, and don't make it a big thing. Just give yourself, maybe let's say, give yourself 3 weeks and collapse the whole thing. Just get rid of it.
Okay. My mind is always like blank. You know, I don't think. And so when I react, I thought I'm reacting delayed. I'm like, am I having an Alzheimer's here or what?
Yeah, well, the mind can be very blank, but you, with, yeah, but as long as you're experiencing things, your unconsciousness is still there. So there, you have to kind of claim your unconscious as you as well. So you're making your unconscious conscious, right? Okay, okay. I'm going to go
so
now.
Much.
You're welcome. Okay. Okay. So there you go. Laughter is good. So I'm going to check again this one person that I never heard. 31229. Can you hear me now?
This is me?
Yes. Hello there. Now it's working. Good. Who is that?
Oh, it's Sandra.
Sandra.
I'm calling from a phone, so
that's
I
good.
Didn't recognize the number.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. No, no. So that's good. Now I'm glad I can hear you. How are you? Would you like to ask a question or just connect?
I would like to connect.
Okay. Okay, nice. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I'm glad we connected at the end. Thanks, Sandra. Okay, thanks.
First
bye.
Time.
Okay, yes, it is, right? Okay, I'll talk to you more often. Okay, bye.
Thank you.
Bye. So I'm going to answer the last question here on the Q&A. This person is saying that moved into a new flat at the end of December. The boyfriend and her witnessed the sudden death of the husband of my neighbor. I've done a lot of work on myself, my boyfriend. I still feel there's an impact on us. Could you please check on my energy to see how I'm doing? What do I need to be aware of? It seems that sudden death has been a subject I've been learning on since young age, because somebody jumped to death, woke up. Okay, so there's some trauma here, sudden death. They're more tragic sudden deaths. I hope I make the best of these experiences. I have been listening to a healing recording, emotion that really helped. I want to do the shadow processing, but I feel very tired easily. Well, if you're in trauma, you will feel very tired easily. And so you want to honor that. Then in the tiredness, you know, you can, watch it very neutrally and just know that this is an experience in the body, that that's not who you are. You can allow the images and the feelings just to move through. Yeah. If you're, because when you're tired, you won't be able to concentrate very well. But if you are resting and your awareness rests on these images or feelings of these events or stress, it could be sometimes also just not sleeping or other kinds of stuff. Just be with it for now. Just drink a lot of water, be with it. And when you then have a little bit more energy, just be very clear that this is a program, like you're noticing, that keeps repeating. So there is this program of witnessing trauma and event and dying. And sometimes, and I'm saying this because of my own experience of having events happening to me, and then after I woke up, I would watch the people outside of me having the same events again, and then these events would disappear. So what happens sometimes is that maybe in other lives you had some traumatic deaths, and the trauma is so that experience is so inside your body that you are now being reminded. It wants to be cleared, so you keep seeing people dying so that this event gets triggered so you can clear it out for yourself. And so you can just, you know, do that. But it's okay to just be very kind, because kindness and self-love is a way of just saying it's okay, it didn't really happen, you're okay, you are eternal, and things happen, and we don't have to carry it or be responsible for it or fix it or understand it even. Just even that is very much ego. So it's just allow yourself to live in the mystery, to just breathe and let everything that moves through the body just happen and let it take its course. If it's something that you really need help with, then that can be addressed in a session. So thank you everybody for being here. This was a long call, almost 2 hours. And thank you for your presence, and thank you for just being so tenacious of really wanting to be free. And for the ones that have shifted out and are experiencing the taste of freedom, to their presence is resonating with everybody here as well, and making this place even stronger and even easier for everybody else to follow up in. So let's close our eyes for a moment, which are closed. And just be the eternity that you are, the freedom. So feel free to keep sitting in the silence. I'm just going to say goodbye. Thank you, and we'll talk soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.